Mr. Pop.
You just singing about Bisexual Awareness Week.
I was not.
This is Rock and Roll, your weekly shot of sport and music with Kevin Hillier, Brian Mannix and Mark Fine.
Can you hear me, Kevin? Am I working?
Vagina.
Unfortunately, yes, I can hear you, Brian. And so can everyone
else. The radical left works for China. Men don't have a vagina. Right.
Dutch. I'm sure he didn't say China. Oh, anyway, goodness me. Welcome back, everyone. Hello, I'm Kevin Hillier. That's Brian Mannix. And there's the return of the smelly fisherman from up north. It's Mark Fine.
Hello, boys. Great to be back. Great time fishing. Were you able to put any of the fish up on the website?
Or No, the Facebook. We put them all up on the Facebook page. Facebook. Everyone's seen what you caught. It's fantastic.
We've given some of them away as prizes, so you're going to have to deliver them.
Good idea. Yeah, very good.
No, obviously you had a great time. And now it was a bucket list item for you and your mate Paul, I think you said, was you went with.
Correct.
Yep. So did it live up to it? Because often with these bloody bucket list things, they don't live up to expectations, did it?
Above and beyond.
Oh, wow.
I mean, this mob, Barra or Blue, they're just great blokes, real Aussie blokes. They just looked after us. It's a great setup. They've got a lovely house, 2 minutes drive from the jetty. You go back there, you jump in the pool at the end of the day because you're boiling hot. Then you're out next morning either in the Arafura Sea catching the big stuff or up the Finnis River going for Barramundi, which can be big as well, as I proved. And It was just fantastic.
Oh, good stuff. Well,
there were sharks. Sharks aplenty, big sharks, crocodiles. It was all happening.
And this is Brokeback Blue. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, nice.
I'm sure you and Paul had a great time.
It's called Barra or Blue, and if anybody's
or anyone will do,
this is not cash for comment or fish for comment. It's just comment. If you're a fisho and you want to fish the top end, that's the way to do it. It's five star.
Good stuff. Excellent. Now, Brian, you bucket list weekend, you survived it.
Yes, absolutely. I didn't kick the bucket, so that's a successful weekend. No, I did a gig at the Essendon Hi-Hat for Mick Gatto, who's raising money for autism.
It's his son, I think it's his son or his grandson.
I'm not sure. I don't know. But anyway, good on him, and I think he would have raised a lot of money. But those gigs are great because they've always got the auction.
Oh, yeah.
And you go, all right, we're not on for 40 minutes. And between the auction and Wilbur Wilde talking.
You did two songs? Yeah,
I did two songs by myself and then did the all-in rule at the end. But I did dance my little B.O.T. Tom off. So, they got their money's worth. Yeah, a lot of happy people.
Good on you. Well done.
What about you, Kev? How is the manpower show going?
Yeah, terrific, Brian. Thanks for asking. At a later date, I'll tell you about my weekend, but not tonight. I've got to process it. I had a hell of a weekend, but we'll get to it in a couple of weeks. Not now.
It's not funny yet.
No, not yet.
It will be in a few weeks.
In a few weeks, we'll piss ourselves laughing about it. Right now, we're not going to.
Okay.
So we'll just let it slide. Nice call, Brian. Now we've got a lot to talk about. We've got footy to talk about, up the wazoo with footy. Mm. We've got a few other things, bits and bits. And finally, we're all on this.
Hang on.
What?
Say up the wazoo with footy?
Yeah, well, we have. That's how much we've got.
Isn't that what Finlayson said that got him into trouble?
Well, I'm not quite sure. I've got a fair idea what I reckon he said, but I'm not 100% sure, even though I believe it was audible. I wasn't watching the game, so I can't say. And when I do watch the game these days, I don't have the sound up terribly loud.
For those ignorant of what you're discussing, including myself, are you talking about the Freo comment or what? What's Finlayson done?
Well, he made a homophobic comment to a player in the game on the weekend.
Oh, really?
Yes, between Port Adelaide and Essendon. Correct me if I'm wrong here, Finey. At three-quarter time, he went to the Port Adelaide officials and said, I said this to that bloke over there, and you're going to probably cop some flack about it, so let's get on the front foot. So,
I reckon he could be in extra trouble. He might get extra weeks because
it was
Agender Pride Day and also Pansexual and Panromantic Awareness Day. And it was Lesbian Awareness Week, Bisexual Awareness Week.
Brian, stop.
Non-binary people week.
Now, see, where you would have been handy, if it hadn't have been against Essendon, if it had been an Essendon player, it's that you could have used all that for the defence. He was merely letting the opposition player know some of the festivities that were going on in Adelaide across the Gather Round weekend.
Oh, so one of our boys got out and had a little crack, did he?
No, he said something to the Essendon player. He basically self-reported. And now I'm not quite sure what happened today, but I'm assuming he will be fined or suspended or something.
All right. Well, I can no longer sit back.
He's lying down, but anyway, go on.
He can hardly move. I can no longer sit
back week in, week out and accept what Brian says on this podcast.
So that's taken you a while.
Brian just said something very wrong, and I'm enough's enough.
Righto. Go on.
You said it was Lesbian Awareness Week. That's not long enough.
Well, I've got a list of all the others that they have.
No, I'm just saying a week's not long enough. I think.
Well, you've got, you've
got. Don't worry about the others. Don't worry about the others. I'm just saying I need more than a week.
A week.
All right.
Okay. How much do you want? You want a month?
A year every year.
Every day is Lesbian Awareness Day. Well, I'm happy to go with that.
It is in my life.
Fair enough. That's good. Says he lying back. Now, we want to point out that we're on Zoom when we do this, and we're watching Finey, who's in a state of semi-disrepair, not from anything he did on his wild week away fishing. No, this is a result of you have what is commonly known as tats flu.
Well, it looks like a broken spine the way he's lying.
Well, that's what he had tattooed.
Yeah, tattoo flu.
Oh, okay.
Ferocious day in the chair, but no pity wanted, no pity deserved, self-inflicted.
Oh, well, we're dying to see it, and when you do unveil it, we'll hopefully get a picture that we can show people
and give away a fish.
Well, what are you having done on your back? What are you having?
The whole back is two dragons, one sky dragon. Facing off against each other, one water dragon, and it's a lot of work. It's a big, it's the biggest canvas and most paint.
Very big. All right. Let's get to the footy. And we've mentioned the Finlayson. There's that. Let's get to firstly, get to the tips. Then before we go to the tips, I'll do the chart, the top 10 of the chart that we're doing this week, which is a absolute beauty again. 4BC chart from April 10, 1966. And let's go from number 10, Lies by the Knickerbockers. Number 9, The Cheetah by Bob Cuban and the Inmen. Number 8 is Myla by Petula Clark. Number 7, Michelle by the Overlanders. Number 6.
The Beatles, Michelle.
No, it is, but not by the Beatles. Or the Overlanders.
Shit.
Number 6, Listen People by Herman's Hermits. Number 5, Someday, One Day by The Seekers. Number 4 is, let me have a look at this. Breaking Point and Ya Ya by Normie Rowe. Number 3, Lightning Strikes by Lou Christie. Number 2, 19th Nervous Breakdown. It's a double A side, or this one. And As Tears Go by The Rolling Stones. And number 1. These Boots Were Made for Walking by Nancy Sinatra.
Right.
What a good song.
It's a big Vietnam sort of song, that one.
Was it?
Yeah, it's when I played the Vietnam Vets concert, I sang that because it's, it's one of those songs, it's not All Along the Watchtower or Fortunate Son.
Yep.
But you'll often hear Boots Are Made for Walking in a Vietnam movie.
Okay. All right.
Which they're making one in the hinterland up here as we speak.
Is that right?
Yeah, I don't know what it's called, and I'm not in it, so I don't care.
I was about to say, are you an extra on it or something?
an extra. Please, come on.
Oh, sorry.
That's never going to happen.
Oh, hang on. Wash my mouth out. Oh, Jesus.
It's a principal role or it's nothing.
Sorry, this is a man who was in Chopper. My God, what was that? And what was the Rebel Wilson? What was the Rebel Wilson film you're in?
Oh, it's Bogan Pride. I played her dad.
You weren't in the Grimsby Tales, whatever the one that they're talking about all the time now, where they're in Sacha Baron.
No. Okay. But I made the movie with Nicole Kidman, and yeah. You know,
yep,
yeah. It's enough about me, I guess.
Yeah, okay. That's
in Blue Heelers too, actually, Kev.
Were you?
Oh yeah. You go on. Said enough about me.
I know that's not true. The Gather Round. The wash up of that in tips is interesting. Again, Brian, you rolled the dice.
Yeah.
And they're still rolling because they didn't come up with a lot.
I was robbed.
You finished up with 13 points.
Ouch.
Finey and I, as it turned out, and I didn't even know it until I went back and checked the scores today, we actually tipped the same. So we both finished up with 20 points for the weekend. So the way that leaves the standings after this weekend is after round four, the gather round, the scores are Kev on 87, Brian on 74, and Finey on 71.
All right.
Like a big fish, I've just got a reel you two in.
Just taking your time. There's no hurry.
Look, I got to say, I came really close with some great things. Frio. They were the better team all friggin' night. Carlton looked, you know, they just kept in there. And the bullshit way that game finished, was just appalling. It was touched. They complained about it. They got two goals that they shouldn't have got. That was just rubbish. It was the most shit ending to a really good game of football that I've seen in a long since the Sydney bloke climbed up the pole.
Right. It was a fairly controversial ending, I must say. Was it
and the Gold Coast were great for three quarters.
Eventually, the GWS got on top of them. Richmond and St Kilda, another tight tussle. The Cats and the Doggies was a tight tussle. Hawthorn and Collingwood finished up being incredibly close. I have to say, the Cats and the Dogs, I didn't think we were going to win at any stage during the game. Never thought that we were at any stage during the game, as you probably were in the same mind watching your mob against Port Adelaide.
I think West Coast Eagles would have kicked their ass.
Well, they finished up
Friday night.
They looked good. They were in front at halftime, I think.
Yeah, they were going all right. But anyway. No. You had special comments on Essendon. You sent us that thing. Perhaps you'd like to elaborate.
We're getting to that in a minute.
Okay.
So that's a wash-up. 87 for me, 74 for Brian, 71 for Finey. So he's circling. We've got some big games this week. The Swans and Collingwood have the bye this week. But we'll get to Lenny's Fine Foods footy tipping competition in just a tick because I want to go to a couple of things about the weekend. Sorry, should we just do away with goal umpires? Should we not bother with them?
Yeah, just about.
Well, because there's no reason for them to be there anymore because everything goes upstairs to be checked by the bloody whatever it's called, the ARC or the whatever. Finally, should we just get rid of them?
They're very touchy in South Australia. They're very touchy in South Australia. It's called the Ben Keys factor. So maybe when we get out of Adelaide, we can get back to a little bit of autonomy. They're still shitting themselves over that terrible mistake last year.
Yes, I do remember that, but it seems to be every game now, even the most bleeding, bloody obvious goal or touch or whatever, and then you get the situation where I think it was the Geelong player who took the mark.
Stengel.
And I'm sorry, to me that looked like, and I'm not saying this is a Doggies supporter, it looked like it was over the line.
Really over.
Yeah, and why that was brought back, paid as a mark, and then they got a goal. Wasn't going to change the course of the game, I didn't think, but...
they could have. They only won by
five. Yeah, I know, but it was still, as I said, I didn't think the Doggies were – it needed to go another 10 minutes, I think, for the Doggies to win that game, to be perfectly honest.
They'll get a win next week, Kev.
Who are we playing, Essendon, on Friday night?
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you brought up Essendon, Brian, because described by one football scribe and broadcaster, as blunt as a cheap steak knife. Bullshit. Essendon's edge has been called out by the one, the only, Mark Fine.
Maney.
Look, you put yourself out there when you come up with rubbish like the edge. I've got nothing against Essendon, and they beat St Kilda, and in fact, they're 2-2, which is probably pretty good for the list they've got and the players they've got out. They've got, you know, a side like that cannot afford to have Ridley, Reed, Wright out of the team. They just can't.
Yep.
So I don't think they've had a terrible start to the season, but don't go around calling yourself, setting yourself apart, especially when it's, you know, we've got the Essendon edge. We're tougher than other teams. We're going to make life, we're going to make life hard when you play Essendon. Before you clobber somebody, you got to be standing next to them.
and if they've got
the ball, and they're running rings around you, all of a sudden the edge looks pretty bloody silly. Yeah. So, you know, I just called out the S and an E. I'm not.
I thought you went pretty light on them, because what I was saying about them was 10 times worse.
And yeah, and on the talk back on Finey's Final Siren, their supporters were merciless. Terrible recruiting. Dodoro sold us up the river. We're not physical enough. It was a bit of baby out with the bathwater. Everything got hurled, because Essendon supporters, you've got to realise, there's no supporters who really. I mean, I know it's all about premierships, but if it's not about premierships, it's about finals and winning finals.
Mm.
And Essendon haven't had anything for 20 years. So fourth game of the season, when you get a beating like that, it sort of tells you we're not going to play finals this year.
No, the whole season's over after that. That's just rubbish. I've got no faith in them. I'll pick them again this week, but that's it. If they lose this week, I'm not picking them again for the rest of the year. And interesting that you say that they're not standing next to their guys. Like, you know, you've heard me complain about this, you know, zone defence. And Essendon, we're so far away from our player, it's just coast to coast until you get it within the 50-metre arc. And I noticed when Port Adelaide didn't have the ball and we were there, they were much closer. They were still zone defensive, but they were close enough that they could get into our guys. We're just too far away from them. I don't know. They're just – the game plan's rubbish. And they're just big heads. They need to be whipped.
What they are, they're raw bodied midfield. I mean, Merritt's a beautiful player. Parrish is good. But they're little.
Mm.
And, you know – Caldwell's a little bit bigger, but he can't keep up with his opponent. He's just not mobile enough. What Essendon went out and got. See, here's the problem. Essendon are not in the finals window, let alone the top four window, let alone the premiership window. So to go all in for Mackay and Gresham and Dersma, don't worry about Goldstein, he was free. He was a steak knife.
He's good, I reckon. I've been happy with him.
Yeah, well, he's got to be dropped. You can't have him in the forward line. That's like, you know, that's 1973 sticking him in the forward line. They were running off him like somebody nicking panties off a clothesline. So,
Kev knows what that looks like.
Like a snowdropper.
Thank you, Brian.
So, unfortunately for Essendon, they went all in when they really should have probably been going back to the draft for youngsters. But, all right, if you go all in, surely your first need to address is a really good big-bodied midfielder. I mean, Dylan Shield's been a bust, unfortunately, for Essendon.
You need like a Bontempelli or a Petrarca, don't they? Isn't that what Essendon is desperately crying out for?
Well, everybody needs that. You're not getting one of them.
Joe Watson.
Yeah, you're not getting one of them. But you can go to Adelaide, for example, and probably prize Matt Crouch out of their hands. Big possession, strong body. He's not going to be the solution to your problems, but he will get a lot of inside ball and can distribute it to the likes of Merritt and Parrish. And you would have been able to get him, no question. Now, you know, it's a big investment, $1.7 million or thereabouts, to get Mackay and Gresham. It's certainly not your worst players, you know. Gresham kicked three, but that is Gresham.
Yeah, Gresham got the first two. He was good. We got him from you, didn't we?
Yeah, he kicked three, but does it really an able-bodied, skillful player like that in a weak midfield, he needs to be able to run in the midfield, but he can't because he's certainly got the talent to. I know he's small as well, but you want to run like somebody like that on the ball, but he doesn't have the engine. Mackay was fine. He's a good player. He's actually very good. But you can't recruit a player, you know, you can't recruit either. One guy plays in the defensive goal square, the other plays in the forward goal square. When the problem's out of the middle, did you see what the clearances were on Friday night? 19-6.
That's rubbish.
Yeah.
Which makes me think when they play the Bulldogs this week, they're going to get absolutely murdered in there.
Correct. Yeah, they're even potentially better than Port Adelaide. No, I think it was 20-6, actually.
Oh, actually, I might be charging my tips.
The only thing that should be 20-6 is when you put the roast chicken on for dinner.
Yeah, correct.
Well, I'll tell you, I like the Gold Coast ruckman. He seemed pretty effective. But my star of the week, Mac Andrews from Gold Coast. Have you seen him play?
Yeah, he's good.
He's an Ethiopian. I've never seen him before. I just watched the whole game. He was in everything, and he's, you know, really skinny and tall and long arms and can jump and take a mark, and he's the new Tip and Woody, this bloke. He's a ripper. I reckon he's great.
Yeah, I mean, Mac Andrew, he's Scottish, isn't he?
It sounds like
I think it's Jack Mac Andrew, yeah, but anyway.
Mac Andrew.
Yeah. And he's an Egyptian-born Somalian.
There you go.
It only makes perfect sense he's playing Australian rules football.
Yep.
It's like a Swedish band singing Italian lyrics in Mamma Mia and having a hit in Australia. It makes perfect sense.
Correct.
There you go.
Can't argue with any of that, Brian. All right.
Yeah, well done.
Now, the gather round, are we all happy about the gather round? Are we all satisfied that that's a great – I think it's a great idea. I think it works really, really well, and I hope no one stuffs around with it too much.
And it worked. Despite the fact that the scheduling of games was terrible, you know, why was Port Adelaide playing Essendon and Brisbane playing North? Why weren't Port should have played Brisbane and Essendon North?
Yeah.
Yes, it would have had two good games. It's like they intentionally scheduled bad games. Adelaide-Melbourne was okay, but really Melbourne had their measure. Collingwood-Hawthorn finished not really. Rio-Carlton was okay, but it's never been a famous game of football. The only game that really got your saliva drooling was Bulldogs Geelong, and it was a very good game. But in fact, some of the other games were terrible. And I don't want to be mean, but they shouldn't play football at Norwood Oval. That's not suitable for AFL.
Yeah, well, they're bringing Barossa into it. Is that what I was? I haven't seen any news today, but I saw a couple of posts about the Premier making some announcement about the Barossa. Now, I'm assuming that games have been played up there. Or is that where Mount Barker is?
Well, Mount Barker, is that a bigger ground than what we're used to? Because it was the least overcrowded around the football game I've seen for a while. I really liked watching GWS. But it seemed like the ground was bigger, so they sort of spaced out a bit more. I don't know. But maybe just the way they played.
Norwood Oval's good for AFLW. It's not good for AFL. It's got those weeds. Straight down.
The other thing with the scheduling, I couldn't work out why we got to Friday night at 9 o'clock and the two Adelaide sides have played. They should start the weekend and finish the weekend, shouldn't they?
Right. Spot on. Yeah. Mm.
Maybe the Crows kick it off and then Port Adelaide finish it on Sunday. That Collingwood-Hawthorn game should have been Port Adelaide against someone.
You know what I feel the AFL did? And I really don't like this. I think they thought, gather around, that's really interesting. Everybody turns up, all the games are sellouts. And it's almost as though they did the other rounds and then, all right, what have we got left over? What shitty games have we got left over?
Yep.
Because, you know, they're sort of thinking, GWS versus Gold Coast, that's going to be a attendance fiasco and we're going to look bad. If it's on the Gold Coast, there'll be 7,000. If it's GWS, there'll be 4,000. So let's play it in Adelaide where people just buy tickets. So we'll put that one on.
Same with Sydney and West Coast, really.
Correct. You know, let's not put anything of any, you know, let's, if we've got a few leftover games, let's fucking, you know, Brisbane, North Melbourne, and they put it on Friday afternoon. Everybody will go to that. Good. Let's suck them in.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's a very good point. Let's hope they give them quality games next year. Yeah, the only other thing with the gather round, and I hope South Australia keep it and it becomes a yearly concept that we've clearly embraced. Now it's in its second year. I would love to see them do a similar thing in the first year of the Tassie, if it's possible logistically, game-wise, to do something similar to the gather round in Tasmania to launch the first year of the new Tassie side. So have every AFL side go down there, play a game across maybe a four-day weekend in the two major venues, and really launch AFL footy into Tasmania and highlight the Devils in that, and then do it as a once-off, only once, only do it the first season that the Devils are in, and then don't do it again, and Adelaide keeps that as a concept.
I'd like to
Why do you do this, Kevin?
I'd like to see it in Queensland, perhaps later in the season, do the same thing, but call it the Root Around, and that could really pay off for our local girls at the Hollywood Showgirls.
Thanks, Brian.
Why do you do it to me, Kevin?
Do what?
Oh, the Tasmanian. I've got to say it. I didn't want to say it.
You have to.
I keep saying it every week, but you set it up. You put the ball on the tee. So I guess they're mainly going to be double-headed.
Sorry.
I liked it when you said that they're going to shave off the
tee. Yeah, well, that was last. No, move on.
The jumper.
That was last week. All right, let's get to the tips. We have to get to those for the round at number five. And I'll tell you.
They're very rare.
I reckon double-headers.
Can I bring something up?
Oh, yes. Oh, well, you're going to
anyway.
One more
thing.
Yeah,
here we go. Yeah.
I mean, Brian's single. He's out there, so he's going to be the barometer. No. When was the last time you saw a good map of Tassie?
Well, that's a bit of a what do you say a good map of Tassie?
Brian, it's a rhetorical question, Mannix.
Proper brush.
Mannix.
Well, some people like have a little – I don't know, actually. I've got no idea.
Thank you for that answer, Brian. Let's move on to the next question.
Studying to be a priest.
all right. Let's get on to the next question, which is holier than thou. We go Thursday, MCG, 7:30. God, these bloody Thursday night games, a lot of them. And we have Melbourne up against Brisbane. I reckon, Finey, you might have come up with Lenny's Fine Foods footy tipping competition, about the juiciest couple of games so far of the season in here. Some real tempting ones, Brian. Trust me.
All right.
Thursday night, Melbourne play Brisbane. Melbourne will get you four. Brisbane will get you six.
Where is it? Melbourne in Melbourne.
MCG. I am going for Melbourne. I think they're a good side. They're in form. Brisbane are a good side. They're not in great form yet. Brian.
I think Brisbane have to rescue their season. I'll take six. Thank you, Kev.
Righto. Farney?
Melbourne.
Melbourne for the four. Friday night, Brian, here you go. Here's your big test. Western Bulldogs take on Essendon. Western Bulldogs will get me three because we know I'm going for that. Essendon will get you seven, Brian. Are you going to stick with your boys? You were just
their last chance.
About 4 minutes ago, you just said when we were having that discussion with Farney, oh, no, I'm going to change my tips.
No, I'll give him one last chance. All right. So 7 points is too tempting.
Essendon. Mr. Fine.
Bulldogs.
Western Bulldogs for the three. GWS play Finey's Mob on Saturday afternoon at 1:45 in Canberra at Manuka Oval. GWS will get you two. St Kilda will get you eight. Now, I don't think St Kilda are playing that badly. But I think GWS are playing really, really well. But can they maintain their form? They're coming off a bye.
No, they played Gold Coast.
Oh, sorry, they played Gold Coast. Yes, they did. Sorry, I apologize.
You're just thinking about Bisexual Awareness Week.
I was not.
Bye round.
Well, have we got one of those? You probably have. GWS and St Kilda. Brian, are you going the two for GWS or the eight for St Kilda?
No, I'll have two for GWS.
Oh, he's going the safe here, GWS. I'm going GWS too. I just don't think the Saints. I think it'll be close.
Fine. If Essendon can beat him, well, hell.
Finey?
You know what? For 8 points, not that big a loss if I lose. I don't think they'll win, but I'll go to St Kilda.
St Kilda. I thought you might.
Good for you.
4:35 Saturday afternoon at Marvel Stadium. Carlton will take on Adelaide. Adelaide are in the bit of a doldrums. That's why they'll get you 8 this week, Brian, who picks Adelaide quite a fair bit. Carlton, never convincing by any stretch of the imagination against Freo. And this is at Marvel. So it's a Carlton game at Marvel.
No, I think Harry Walsh comes back this week, doesn't he?
Who?
Who's their Walsh guy? Harry Walsh, is it?
Sam.
Who?
Sam.
Sam Walsh.
I do believe that's his first
name. No, Harry Sam.
So both the brothers are coming back. Oh, well, that should make Carlton too strong.
The twins.
With Sam and Harry, the twins, playing. That'll be, it'll be too Mike much. And Mike Walsh is playing as well. I believe Justin Madden's been recalled. It's all happening.
The triplets, they're playing. Adelaide for 8, Carlton for 2. The Filth, are you going the Filth, Brian, or are you going the boys from Crowland?
Right. No, we'll go because Mike Walsh, Mike and Sam and Harry Walsh are back in the team with Justin Madden, so we'll go to Carlton for 2.
Oh, you're going Carlton for 2. I'm going Carlton for 2, Finey. Carlton for 2. No.
There is temptation. Eight is a lot.
Well, I reckon this one might be one of the most tempting games of the round. Gold Coast on Saturday night, Brian, just around the corner from your place. You can see it from your place. 7:30 Saturday night on the Gold Coast. The Suns play host to the Hawks. The Suns will get you 3. The Hawks will get you 7. Hawthorn bloody near beat Collingwood.
Nah, Suns looked good until three-quarter time. They just ran out of legs and got confused or whatever. Mac Andrew, he's a beauty. I was really impressed with the
Suns. He's not playing, Mac. He's teeing off in the Masters.
Really?
With all the other Scottish golfers.
Oh, right. Okay. Fair enough. I think the Big Mac will get them across the line. They'll be dirty. They didn't win last week.
Okay. Well, I reckon Hawthorn will be dirty. They didn't win last week too. And I'm tipping Hawthorn. I'm going the 7. The 7's sucked me in. Finey.
Sun for 3.
Suns for 3. So this is where Finey, he's strategizing this. And he's just working it out. How we can pick up that 3 on you, Brian, jump over the top of you, and then make a beeline for me.
It's a far more strategic game than the emotional bullshit you and I play with.
Adelaide Oval, 7:30 on Saturday night. Port Adelaide take on Frio. Pardon me. Port Adelaide will get you 3. Frio will get you 7.
I'll be down for 7.
7 for Frio for Brian at Adelaide. No, I think Port. I like Port. I think they're a good side.
I loved Frio's jumpers last week.
Are they were the washed out ones?
Dark blue. No, black and purple. They look like the Storm. They got a couple of transgender guys in the team too, which played really well. I was pleased with that.
Finally, Port Adelaide for 3 or Frio for 7. You're an idiot, Mannix.
You ever look at a couple of them and think, yeah, you used to be a girl. No, they got their eyebrows beautifully manicured and their hair's all, it's all good.
Who are you going for, Finey, Port Adelaide or Frio?
I'm going for my lawyer.
I might be too.
I'm going for Port Adelaide.
Port Adelaide taking the 3. All right, Sunday games, 2 of those. 1 o'clock at GMHBA Stadium. In Geelong, we'll get you 1. North Melbourne will get you 9. I don't think anyone's on anything that they shouldn't be, so I'll just write G, G, and G there. Everyone on the 1. And the final game of the weekend is another tempting one. In Perth at Optus at 4 o'clock on Sunday afternoon, the West Coast Eagles take on Richmond. The Eagles at home will get you 7. Richmond away. We'll get you 3.
7. How go the Eagles? They've got to come good eventually.
I knew he would crack on one of these ones. The West Coast Eagles for Brian. I'm going to pick Richmond, but not with any degree of confidence whatsoever. Finey?
There's one of these games last year where I went for West Coast.
Is that against us?
By like a, lost by 130 points or something.
Oh, no, that's right. No, they beat us.
Appalling massacre.
Yeah.
I'm going for Richmond.
Richmond. Again, obviously not with any great confidence, I'm assuming.
No. Not at the point. No.
Okay. Kev on 87, Brian on 74, Finey on 71. They're the Lenny's Finer Foods footy tipping competition. Jeez, the stuff on Facebook that your lovely wife has been putting up has been looking terrific too for that chicken soup. I'm not a big chicken soup person, but jeez, it looked good.
We'll have a look at Finey. You should serve him a bowl now.
Absolutely. Now, mention the Masters at Augusta. That's on. The green jacket up for grabs. Quite a few Aussies running around in that. We'll watch them across this coming week, including a little fella from Bairnsdale called Jasper Stubbs.
Stubbsy!
Who's playing as an amateur. So he's got a chance to write his name in the record books. Cameron Davis is there. Cam Smith's there. Adam Scott, Jason Day, Minwoo Lee. So it's going
Mac Andrew.
No, he's Scott. He's in the Scottish contingent. The other thing I want to mention was today, my God, the foal from Winx by Piero out of Winx, obviously. Lot 391 today at the English yearling sales. $10 million.
Bought by the chick that already owned him.
By Debbie Kepitis, or whatever it is. Congratulations to her. She
owned
cried.
Her.
She cried and cried and cried when she was the successful bit of $10 million for an unraised.
That's also been no good.
Well, did the last
one. Yeah, I reckon too.
Yeah, geez, $10 million.
And you already owned it. What's the point?
Black Caviar barely threw anything.
Yeah, true.
Moshe was okay, but went to stud pretty early.
Well, Winx is pregnant again, this time by Schnitzel, so there's another one on the way.
Yeah. What's her name? Maccabi Diva.
Yep.
Threw absolute camels.
Yep.
Yeah. Those great mares that are just superstars.
Sometimes it doesn't quite work out.
They leave it on the track often.
Well, the lady who bought it, she wouldn't have had to pay herself, really, would she? She just sort of said, I don't want to sell it. Is that kind of effectively what happened?
She only had a share in it. I mean, paying people millions.
Oh, okay. Wow, you must love the horse.
Must have a lot of money.
$10 million. That's a lot of money for a punt. But
don't call her that. She's a lovely lady.
There's obviously a lot of sentimental value in there. All right, Brian. Guess what? With daylight saving, we're all on the same time. And guess what time it is, Brian?
Ladies and gentlemen, tick, tick, tick. That's your life ticking away. Oh, and now it's time for.
Oh, Jesus.
The Death Elider.
As the oldest member of this panel, that's a really depressing bloody introduction, Maddox.
Well, let's face it, we're all a day closer to death today than we were yesterday.
The great thing about this program is we laugh in the face of death. If it comes, we accept that our time was up. Ha, 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 we laugh at death. who's the first casualty?
Okay, so we'll go to the sporting world first up.
Who's the first casualty?
Sounds like we're doing the war report from, WW3. Let's start from the sporting world first up, a couple of those. Keith Barnes passed away at the age of 89. Now, he was
hilarious.
No. He was
Jimmy's brother.
He was known as Golden Boots. He played for Balmain in the Sydney Rugby League back when it was just the Sydney Rugby League, but he played for New South Wales and Australia.
And when he broke up with his wife, he was known as Blue Balls.
He was Australian captain on 12 occasions. Brian's amused himself. Has the distinction of actually being the captain of Australia in the first test he ever played. He's an OAM. He's in the Rugby League Hall of Fame. He's considered one of the best of all time. His record, played 194 games for Balmain, and kicked 742 goals. He was quite astonishing as a goal kicker.
Barnsley.
Yeah, Barnsley, yes, Golden Boots. was one of the greats of his era. Joe Kinnear.
What was his nickname? Golden Boots.
Golden Boots.
Oh, his nickname should have been Honey.
Hey?
Barnes Honey.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Righto. Joe Kinnear, a great player for Spurs. What?
Probably Sticky Balls or something.
Oh, stop it. Joe Kinnear was a great player for Spurs in his time, played 196 games for Spurs, was an FA Cup winner in 67 and UEFA Cup and UEFA Cup and a couple of championship titles with Spurs. He passed away at the age of 77. He was one of my favourites.
And he was going all right until Ange Postecoglou cut him from the squad and he just never recovered from that.
The age of 76, Ange gave him the arm.
Well, he was 74 when Ange took it and said, no, you've had enough.
He got his right whack.
From Golden Boots.
No, he wasn't called Golden Boots. I don't know what Joe Kinnear's nickname was. Also from the sport.
You let me get away with that.
Hey?
You let me get away with that when I said he got his right whack.
No, stop it.
What? I missed it. Whack.
I don't like Tottenham. I hate Tottenham.
Yes, I know he hates Tottenham. We drew. Yeah. Did we draw with you a week ago or so? Wasn't it?
And sort of lost.
Yeah, no, but we didn't. Bev Brock passed away on the weekend at the age of 77. Of course, was the never actually married to Peter Brock. She actually changed her name to Brock by deed poll, so I was never actually married to him, but she was with him for just on 30 years, had two children with him.
She was filthy when he hooked up with the younger version of her.
Julie Bamford, yes.
She looked exactly the same, just like a younger version.
There you go.
She?
So Bev unfortunately passed away on the weekend at the age of 77.
Sorry, Bev.
Yeah.
Hope you had a great life.
I think she did up until the end. Michael Ward passed away at the age of 57. He was in the Wallflowers with Jacob Dylan. He was the guitarist. The Wallflowers.
Oh, no, they were good.
My favourite boxer is Mickey Ward.
Oh, okay. No, it's not him.
And interesting, he ended up in a hospital ward. So, wow, what a coincidence.
Can we cut the joke content back in the Death Eliza segment?
Well,
you two heathens.
If you put on some, if you get some guests that are, not, humorous.
Oh. Well, I've got a humorous
come
person.
Out with, we've got to deal with Butkus and all of this stuff.
57 younger than all of them.
Yeah, so it is.
That's not
right. I do have a humorous person to salute. Joe Flaherty passed away at the age of 82. Was originally a member of the SCTV comedy ensemble, which, Martin Short and all those people came through.
Yeah.
Eugene Levy.
Jim Belushi. Second City, it's a Chicago version of Saturday Night Live.
There's a Second City in Chicago, and there's one in Toronto as well.
Canada.
Yep. And Canada. Joe Flaherty was part of that. He was part of that Eugene Levy and all those guys, Dave Thomas and that wrote stuff. He was in Freaks and Geeks. He was in Happy Gilmore. He's done a million films and stuff. Very, very funny man. Very funny man.
Not anymore.
No,
what's his name, Eugene?
No, his name is Joe Flaherty. God, you two.
Right, okay, sorry.
A couple of heathens you two turned out to
dementia.
Be.
Dementia. It's the dementia.
And also today, a late one, Gary Van Egmond passed away at the age of 82, responsible, of course, for concerts like concerts. He brought them out here. Probably a couple of the biggest concerts ever were the Dire Straits concert in 86, which he had.
Yeah.
The AC/DC concert back in 2010 or 11, whenever that was. That was a massive one that he did. He did River Dance, which was one of the top four gross ticket sales of all time. The stats are that his company has sold over $30 million worth of concert tickets. Well, 30 million concert tickets, not $30 million worth, a lot more money-wise. But, one of the pioneers of that.
I think he might have done some big theatre shows too.
Oh, he did. Massive.
Yeah,
all the big theatre shows.
That's a real tragedy. You've lost Gidinski and I think Frontier are floundering a little bit without him. Yeah. And
Gary Van Egmond's son, Christo, has been running the company for a number of years now.
Oh, good. Hopefully it's still in good hands because they're important, those people.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Look, they make their right whack out of it, but they risk.
You know, like they can lose everything.
Yeah, you can talk about the big ones that they, Dire Straits tour. There was seven other tours before that all died in the bum that didn't make a zack.
Well, Andrew McManus would be
yeah.
not, He'd be worried about pandemonium. That sort of seems to be all a bit chaotic at the moment.
That's been sorted today, pandemonium. Deep Purple are not coming. I think the Dead Kennedys and Placebo also are not coming.
Oh.
But Alice Cooper, Blondie, they are coming, and they've all the dates are the same. They've changed one venue. I think the Brisbane venue's been changed, and there's only a couple little things, but all the press details of that came out today. I think they've amended the ticket prices. The word was that both Deep Purple and Placebo are very keen to come out and tour if they can fit it into their schedule now that these ones have been cancelled.
I don't know why we're talking about this, because it just shows you that rock and roll is not dead.
Exactly right, and that is the death of life.
Can I think of what?
Yes.
If Blondie's coming, I'll be in the front row.
Okay, well, Blondie's coming. Absolutely 100% locked in, Blondie. I just want to mention before we close the death of Liza.
Guaranteed that she's coming?
Who?
Blondie, guaranteed that she's coming?
Yeah, don't.
All over Australia.
Stop it.
Yeah.
Brian, you don't need to
help me. All over Australia.
Brian, I've done it already. You don't need
just let it go, will you?
Slow on the uptake.
Close the death loser, I just did want to say.
In fact, I'll be in the front row seat wearing.
Stop it.
He's definitely coming. I'll be in the front row seat wearing a Mac.
Yes, Andrew. Good. Okay.
Mac Andrew, a little Scottish, Somalian, Egyptian sitting on your lap. That'd be great.
She doesn't do a Chrissy
Hynde. No, Macintosh.
Yes, correct. Now, I just did want to mention before we close the death of Liza Bryan, stand by, Ed, that I did want to acknowledge my good mate Les Twentyman, who we talked about last week, who passed away, has been given
a saved your life.
And has been given a state funeral. So that is that's a nice.
Will you be giving part of the eulogy, Kevin?
No, I've been sent an invitation to it.
I was lost. I was living in a cardboard box with a
serious
drug habit, and I was saved by this great man.
And close the death
eliza. I knew I was hosting Triple M breakfast.
Ryan, close the death eliza up before you're in it.
Looks like you made it through another week. Well, let's see how you go this week. That concludes tonight's thrilling episode of The Death Eliza. Starring Carl Malden.
And Michael Douglas.
A Quinn Martin production.
All right, let's get to the chart. Mentioned it's from April 10 of 1966. This is from 4BC in Brisbane. Queensland's Authentic Survey in its eighth year, it says on the top of the chart, which we'll put it up on social media. Number one, These Boots Are Made for Walking by Nancy Sinatra. Some really interesting songs in this one. Finey, you got back from your fishing trip, you picked out 1966, and what did you find?
Well, I've got to say, I didn't like this chart.
Oh.
I liked the songs in it. I didn't like the version you sent. I couldn't friggin' read it.
I
apologise.
It's only their second year doing the chart, and you can see why they haven't got the printing right at all.
Yeah, it was difficult to read, but I've highlighted a couple of songs.
Righto, which ones?
Song number one is a very annoying piece of dreck called Elusive Butterfly by Bob Lynn.
Oh, Finey.
It's actually very well named, because not only is it, it's not about an elusive butterfly, it's about an elusive chorus, because there's barely a chorus in it. I mean, it takes a lot of balls to write a song without a chorus. There's after a minute 20 of rambling on and, you know, just, I can't believe you like it. It's a horrible piece, monotonous, predictable, and finally the elusive butterfly appears at 1 minute 30 and then again at 2 minutes 50.
Yeah.
You know, the little elusive butterfly.
Of love.
You got to be very courageous to write a song without a chorus. It's like a pinball machine without specs. No one's going to play it, and I wouldn't play that song. So I'm not surprised you like it. You're an elderly gentleman.
Get stuffed.
Fair enough, Kev. You make Charlie Watts look youthful.
Oh, thanks very much, bro.
But, you know, it's exactly the sort of thing you'd expect to here playing quietly in the background, at an annoying, difficult-to-hear volume at an all-you-can-eat buffet in Ringwood.
Yeah, okay. Right.
You can't dance to it. You can't swoon to it. All you can do is puke to it. Anyhow, that's Elusive Butterfly.
Okay. And what was the other one that you?
Another song that I particularly despise. I've come back with bit of shit on the liver.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I've got support for this one. So in differing degrees, we all love Elvis Presley. At his best, absolutely brilliant. At his worst, singing terrible songs in movies that he made that he should never have made.
Oh.
And out of the movie Girl Happy comes Puppet on a String that should have definitely been sung by Sandy Shaw, not by Elvis Presley.
Oh.
Controversy.
So I went online and I looked up Elvis's 10 best songs, no sign of Puppet on a String. 25 best song, no sign of Puppet on a String. Billboard's top 40 Elvis songs, no Puppet on a String. Classically listed some website, top 40 Elvis Presley songs. The most pretentious up their own backside listing I've ever seen, because they've listed all the songs that no one's ever heard. You know, because, you know, some of those people that, oh, we're the real Elvis fans. We know all these unlisted, not released as singles were his best songs. You people that like all the, you know,
Love all the tenders classics, and all that, yeah.
Blues right, yeah.
But still no Puppet on a String. Then I went to the top 100, no Puppet on a String. Another top 100, no Puppet on a String. But then I did find it finally listed in a list of Elvis's worst 25 songs. There's no way that Elvis Presley at his best was a what music did he sing? Rockabilly, rock,
gospel,
country.
Gospel, fantastic, soul in a certain way, and a great balladeer. And here he is singing the music to a fucking merry-go-round. literally the sort of music you'd hear at Luna Park as the merry-go-round goes around.
I think it might be from Roustabout, where he's actually a motorbike driver in a carnival. So, and he works in a carnival in Loving You as well. So,
I think it's Girl Happy.
Oh, yeah. That just should have been called Root Around.
Girl Happy, Mark Unhappy.
Fair enough. No, there is nothing sadder than a great singer and a really crappy song. I agree. Yeah. Brian?
Well, when COVID was on, I'd sneak into Bartolo Zagami's backyard, and it was cold. We'd have a couple of beers because it's the only social thing we have, and he'd light stuff, and all the ash would go in the air and fall down on our heads. So he called his little area there the Dandruff Lounge. And then I ended up taking music around, and I'd take my little speaker, and because these blokes just, you know, all sitting around waiting to die. So I'd play music and get them to actually talk and feel something. Mm-hmm. And now here's my playlist for the Dandruff Lounge. The first song is Better Days, Pete Murray, while we're done going through COVID. Second song is You and Me, the Cockroaches. The third song is Moonlight Swim from Blue Hawaii by Elvis Presley. And the fourth song is Puppet on a String by Elvis Presley.
I think
it's a beautiful, you know, it's a simple little country song, but it's just.
You're a simple little country singer.
But it's just simple and beautiful. I love it. I think it's a terrific song. I can watch the video, but it just, maybe it just takes me back to a time when life was a bit more simple and people just sort of portrayed their feelings and their music a lot more simply without the angst and the crap that we seem to add on into this stuff today, like our lives. So, I'm sticking up for Puppet on a String. I think it's a great song. Please, Kevin.
I wanted to ask a question. Now, is that the one that has, because I didn't listen to it today, is that the one that has the German thing in it? Is that one?
No, that's Wooden Heart.
Oh, okay.
That's the B-side. I mean, you got Puppet on a String, and then the B-side, Wooden Heart. What else did he release? Wooden Liver, Wooden Appendix. He did Puppet on a String, and then he did all the body parts.
I become a puppet on a string.
Oh, it's
that one. Do most anything with me.
And now live at the Dandruff Lounge, it's Brian Mannix.
And here's our host, Bartolo Zagami, weighing at 600 pounds and shitting his pants. Anyway, the other one is the number two song, 19th Nervous.
Yep.
And As Tears Go By. I love 19th Nervous Breakdown. I think it's really lyrically really out there for when it was written. You know, I don't think anybody wrote about nervous breakdowns in those days, but they did. But I particularly like As Tears Go By. I love the Stones version, but I even like even more, I like Marianne Faithfull's version.
Her version's fantastic.
Well, she sounds like she's living the pain of what she's singing about. Yep. But I think that's a beautiful song. And, you know, gee, we're talking about getting a bang for your buck 10, 19th Nervous Breakdown and As Tears Go By. Great value for money. No steak knives required.
Well, the Beatles one that's on this is pretty good too, the old Norwegian Wood and Nowhere Man.
Oh, Nowhere Man. I didn't see that.
Yeah, Nowhere Man and Norwegian Wood. Talk about two.
How about We Can Work It Out?
Yes. Oh, I love We Can Work It Out. But
that's one of my top three Beatles.
Yeah, no, it's a great song. No, there's two songs that are on there. Women by the Easy Beats, another great song. But the one I picked out, and there's apparently a doco running around on Apple at the moment called In Restless Dreams that I've got to have a look at that I'm not recommending to you, but I'm just telling you it's out and about because I haven't watched it yet. It's only just come out, which is a whole look at Paul Simon and Paul Simon's songwriting. I'm sorry, I just think Homeward Bound is it's number 40 on this chart, I think. Yeah, is just such a good song. God, it's a good song. Every time I hear it,
I bet the flip side's probably just as good too.
What was the flip side?
But yeah, sorry, kid. I don't know, but all of their songs are great. But Homeward Bound, it's just so special.
Oh, it's a beautiful song.
Why do I always confuse that and The Boxer?
There's similarities between the two, I must admit, in terms of the feel of the song and The Boxer or Homeward Bound and The Boxer always almost reduced me to tears.
Yeah, Homeward Bound especially for me.
Oh, Jesus.
The Boxer can too, yeah.
Yeah, no, The Boxer's a beautiful song. But Homeward Bound, every time I hear it, I just go, oh, hang on, I'm in trouble here. Because it hits a nerve somewhere in my body and you just go, I was going to listen to it today and I thought, I've actually had a shitty weekend. I don't really want to listen to a song that's going to make me push me over the edge. But it's just I love Simon and Garfunkel. I could listen to them till the cows come home.
Pity they didn't love each other.
Well,
I could watch a mud wrestle. That's how much I like them.
I think they probably did in the end.
Yeah. There's a lot of shit flying around, that's for sure.
Certainly some angst and anxiety between the two in the latter years. But Paul Simon, as much as I like his solo stuff, I think the stuff he wrote with Simon and Garfunkel in that period of time to me is just almost every single one of those songs is absolutely timeless.
A great poet as well. His lyrics are very, very clever.
Yeah, I reckon far ahead of Dylan for me.
Well, I think so too. Some of the lyrics in Sounds of Silence, you know, people talking without listening, Gee, that's a great line. And that's the world we live in at the moment. And the words of a poet are written on a subway wall.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah, no, he's always had those sort of lines to me are always – I know they sound like they should be on the bottom of a date calendar or something, but he did it for me far more than Dylan did. Anyway,
now here's your chance. Here's your chance, Brian. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Kevin. Here's your chance. You ready, Kev?
Mm-hmm.
Here's your opportunity. Tell me why Wayward Moth isn't the worst song I've ever heard.
Which one?
Wayward Moth.
Wayward. Oh, a lucid butterfly, whatever.
Oh, Wayward Moth. Oh. If you wake up one morning to the sound of something, well, I'm trying to think of the lyrics of it. If you wake up one morning to the sound of something, it's in the wind. I like a lucid butterfly. It's a nice song. It was in my list of songs that on this chart that I liked. Lightning Strikes, I like. the cheetah. Rubbish.
Do you know what sound my wife wakes up to every morning at about 6:30?
You snoring?
No, me taking the old man piss at 6:30 a.m.
What a delightful. Thanks for sharing that.
No elusive butterflies, mate.
No elusive butterflies. Fair enough. Boys, that's it for another week. It's been swell. It's been fun. It's been a blast as always. Finally, a good recovery. We'll talk to you next week, and hopefully your back will be up and about.
I'm already feeling better. Spending time with you, confirming that I'm not in the death-alyzer, and knowing that I'm 1 week closer to overhauling Brian in the tipping, I'm much better.
The new Life of Brian is out this week with Huey Lewis and Roger Glover, and Brian's appearing live this week in the Dandruff Lounge. The news is coming up. The news is coming up now. Have a good week, boys. See ya.
Thank you, Lavinia.
You've just experienced rock and roll. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Facebook.